For the sake of those who may not have been here last week, and just to reiterate for all of us, we're going to repeat the announcement that we made last weekend. Although the coronavirus has not appeared locally, many people have become concerned about its spread. While we do not intend to change our liturgies, we do urge caution, as we would with any illness, such as the flu or a cold. Use common sense in all things. God gave all of us a brain. If you are not feeling well, please do not receive Holy Communion from the cup. And we ask that everyone please receive the sacred host in your hand rather than on your tongue. It is a much healthier way to receive Holy Communion. You may also choose to offer a smile or a nod to the person next to you at the sign of peace instead of shaking hands. Hopefully, a cure for this virus will be found soon, and it will not affect us locally, and we will be able to return to our regular procedures after a few weeks. I think most people are inspired by the majesty of mountains. We have two big mountain ranges that kind of frame our country. The Appalachians in the east, covered with lush green forests, and the Rockies in the west, soaring to snow-capped heights. A lot of people every year take vacations to the mountains, drawn by their massive presence and their imposing stature. Well, mountains figure large in our faith tradition, too. They are places of profound encounter between God and his people. We have Moses going up Mount Sinai to enter into the covenant with God and to receive the Ten Commandments. We have Elijah going up Mount Carmel to hide from the Lord only to discover him there. Mountains evoke privileged conversation with the divine. The gospel today places Jesus and the apostles Peter, James, and John on a high mountain by themselves. There they are privileged to see the full glory of Jesus, the Anointed One. Psychologists speak often about peak experiences, moments when the purpose and direction of life seem to all converge together. Moments of profound clarity. Such moments end up being fixed in our memories, to be recalled and considered when we are experiencing the valleys of life. The story of the Transfiguration is sandwiched between two predictions of Jesus' passion. He announced to the disciples that as the Savior, he would be a suffering Messiah. And that was not easy for those disciples to accept. They had expected someone far different, a person full of power and might. But it was political power and military might. They expected someone who would stand up to the Romans, not submit to continued humiliation by them. They wanted someone who would reestablish the kingdom as it was in the glory days of King David. And so Jesus knew that there would come a time when his disciples would not find him appealing. When he talked about his own suffering, they tried to turn him away from that. Hanging from a cross and covered with bloody wounds, most of his disciples ended up running away. And then those very same disciples would need to recall their peak experience with Jesus, for the difficult road to Jerusalem awaited all of them. The story of the Transfiguration is about seeing the deeper identity of Jesus. Jesus revealed to his closest disciples his inner beauty. They saw him as he really was, despite the coming suffering of the cross. Even though his physical body would become disfigured, nothing could destroy the truth of who he was, the Son of God. The transfiguration was, in a sense, a paying forward, a glimpse into the future that was to provide hope in the midst of disappointment and suffering and even death. Last week, as we began Lent, we had the story of Jesus going into the desert to be tempted by the devil. If the desert showed the reality of sin and temptation, then the Mount of Transfiguration showed the possibilities of grace and goodness. The cross is not the ultimate meaning of life. Pope Francis has said that there are two significant elements to this story: ascent and descent. He said we all need to go apart, to ascend the mountain in a space of silence, to find ourselves and better perceive the voice of the Lord. This we do in prayer. But we cannot stay there. Encounter with God in prayer inspires us anew to descend the mountain and return to the plain, where we meet many brothers and sisters weighed down by fatigue, sickness, injustice, ignorance, poverty, both material and spiritual. To these brothers and sisters in difficulty, we are called to bear the fruit of our experience with God by sharing the grace that we have received. Lent shows us that as humans, we become disfigured by sin. But Easter shows us that as God's creation, we become transfigured by his grace.